Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. God is good, and all the time. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Good evening, everyone. Good evening to those of you online, wherever you are on God's green earth. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. We are pleased, and we believe our God in heaven is similarly pleased. How was your day? It went well, so did mine. And I thank God for that. As usual, I thought of you. I look forward to this time. During the day, I am very mentally busy during the day. When I'm not counseling 9 to 12, those days I am in my room. Tell you a little secret about me. When I travel to preach, you can find me three places. My room, the pulpit, or a gym. Are you with me? My room, so I don't see anything or hear anything. The pulpit, that's why I came. The gym, I need to be strong because the Bible is heavy. Can you say amen? This is a heavy book, so I've got to go to the gym so I can lift it with my heart more than my hands. And so I was in my room thinking, praying, asking God how to present the truth. You can say one thing to one person and that person does not get it. You say the same thing to someone else, that person gets it. And so those of us who preach, we are heavily dependent upon the Spirit of God to tell us how to say the things that God puts in our heads. And so that was my activity, very, very mental, and sometimes it is more exhausting than physical work, but it's good work, and I thank God for the privilege of speaking for him. Where are my guests on this side? Any visitors? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist on this side. Any guests? Let me block off this light so I can see any hand that's raised. Any hands? Any hands? Someone help me. I don't see it. Move your hand if you raised it. Okay, no hands on that side. This side, any guests? Raise your hands so I can. All right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. Let me offer a prayer for the guests. Father, for the sake of Christ, bless our guests. When I say our guests, dear God, I am referring to those in this building and those online all over the world. Bless them. There may be someone, dear God, struggling with depression and loneliness. I ask you right now, Father, shine the light of hope into that person's life. Somehow remind that person that there is a God who can lift burdens. The Bible says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. Lift the head of a guest right now who may be depressed and give him or her hope. Bless them in every other way, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject for today, God has limits. What did I say? God has, where are my little brothers and sisters? I see some in the front. Ah, there you are. There you are. God bless. Ah, thank you so much for raising your hands. There you are. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I love to see children in the service. And I thank God that they're here. And what really delights me at the end of the message when I say, what will you take from the message? Sometimes the first person to answer is a child. And so I'm always delighted with that. Before I get into the message, it is now about 20 minutes to 7. I'll release you by 7:30. If you're not using one of these things, turn them off, please, until they're dead. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. I don't have any words that can save you. I just don't. If you remove the Spirit of God from me, anything I say may hurt you. Ask God to put His words in my mouth. My friends online, that request also applies to you. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. That's what I want my Heavenly Father to do. If you pray that prayer, it will be 100% God's will. And the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. 1 John 5:14. Favor number three, think as you listen. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us do what? Reason together, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Elder Hall, come and pray for me. This is a man of God who's coming up. I've known him many, many years. It's a man of God. Come and pray for me. Can you have a mic, please?
Gracious, loving Father, which art in heaven, we are so grateful tonight, this evening, that we are here because we believe the presence of the Lord is here with us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to, Lord, submit ourselves to you so that you can be able to break through to us in every sphere of our needs tonight. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your word. We want, Lord, your word to be able to penetrate our hearts, be able to lead and guide in the thoughts that we think and the life that we live. But we want in a special way also, Lord, tonight to remember your manservant, Pastor Randy Skeet. He's your man. He's your vessel. It's your instrument. Lord, He's the one that you have chosen to speak to us, to challenge us, and to instruct us in what your word says. And we so pray that you will endow him, you will imbue him with your spirit, fill him with your presence, and Lord, use him mightily tonight, so that we will know that the Lord has spoken to us. Grant, Father, that your word may take center stage, and that your word will be the means by which we will make important decisions, decisions that will change our lives forever. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer, and thank you for being with us. We present your manservant to the church and to the waiting congregation, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elder Hall. God bless you. Bless your family. What's our subject? I will tell you two things about God. There are many things to say about God, but in the context of God has limits, I bring two things to your attention, and both of them are frightening, but they need to be heard, particularly by preachers who refuse to preach the truth. Let us go to Romans chapter 1. We'll read from verse 18. It's about roughly 6:45. I'll release you by 7:30. I'll do everything I can. Romans 1, reading from verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, read 18 with me if you don't mind. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men that hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now let's look at that verse microscopically. For the wrath of God is revealed. The word reveal is apokalupto. Apokalupto is made up of two Greek words. Apo means off. Kalupto means cover or lid. God will remove the covering so that people can see the fullness of his wrath. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven, but against whom? Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word for hold means suppress. To hold it down. When two men are wrestling, one tries to pin the other so he or she cannot get up. He holds that person down. There are preachers who suppress the truth. Romans 1:18, that's the one thing about God I'm going to tell you too, that ought to frighten preachers. The wrath of God. Now, let's look at the word wrath. We looked at revealed apokalupto, taking off the cover so you can see it. What about the word wrath? The word wrath, there's several words for wrath in the New Testament and, by the way, in the Old Testament. This word is orge. The wrath of God, the orge of God. Can you think of an English word based on that Greek word? Orge. It's not a word that's part of your lifestyle, I know that. But think, can you think of an English word based on orge? Orgy. An orgy is an activity where people go to extremes in drinking and sexual immorality. No limits. Are you following me? It's an orgy. Ancient religions that are anti-God, that was part of their worship style. Orgies. In the Greek world, and I guess the Roman world, there were such things as temple prostitutes. Women were there, and sexual immorality was part of the worship. The wrath of God, the orge of God, the orgy of God's wrath, this unrestrained, no limits to his wrath, is against those who suppress the truth. That's one thing to know about God. Now, let me say it again. Any preacher listening to me, if you are willingly, willfully, deliberately, intentionally, flagrantly, purposely, high-handedly holding God's truth in unrighteousness, deceiving people, you are in for a sad day. Let's look at the second frightening thing about God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We read from verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by what? Spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. Let me pause on that. Too many people are deceived by every possible means. I have seen some things on YouTube, church services, especially in Africa. And I just hang my head and I say, Father, how can people do that to themselves or allow that to be done to them? There's a church in South Africa, I don't know if it still exists, where the members at a certain point in the service run out, lie on the ground, and start eating grass. Have you ever seen that? Yes. I don't recall seeing the preacher eat the grass. Young people, possibly in college, using their minds, lying on the ground, eating grass. I saw one service somewhere, I don't recall where it was. There's this lady only in a bra and her unmentionable, having her sins confessed or forgiven. And I say to myself, Father, how can people do that to people? And how can other people allow it to be done to them? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except they come a falling away first. Careful now. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. One name, the man of sin. Another name, the son of perdition. What does he do? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. He places himself, but when I say he, it's not really a man, it's a system. Are you with me? Because it operated in the days of Paul. No man is alive from the days of Paul until now. So when you read, think, are you following me? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, when you read the temple of God, give me another word for that. The church. This power functions primarily in churches. And he is called the man of sin, the son of perdition. Now, when Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 12, you may put it up if you want to. John 17, 12, keep the word son of perdition in mind, referring to this man of sin, which is a system. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. This is Christ praying. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Finish the verse. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. To whom was Christ referring? Judas. The Bible, Jesus Christ himself refers to Judas as the son of perdition, because Judas was working in opposition to what Christ was doing. This system, which is anti-God, referred to as a man, is referred to as the son of perdition. Verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians 2, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There is a religious system on this earth whose leader takes the place of God on earth. Now, speaking of this system, in verse 8, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now read verse 9 carefully. Is it on the screen? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. What does that mean? Who's coming? This man of sin, this son of perdition, the spirit, the mystery of iniquity. In verse 7, it's referred to as the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Whose coming is after the power of Satan. With all what? With all power and signs and, yes, lying wonders. Let me say what I told you last week. Satan can perform genuine miracles, but for the purpose of deception. He comes without power and signs and lying wonders. After the working, now the word working is energia, which means the energy, the power. He comes with the power of Satan. Any power that exalts itself above God is empowered by Satan, not by God, because God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And with all deceivableness, verse 10, of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they what? Receive not the love of the truth, finish the verse, that they might be. Listen to me carefully. You have to love truth. It's not enough. A lot of people love their church, not truth. I've been preaching for a few years now. I cannot tell you how many people I've met who have seen the truth and said, but I cannot leave where I am. I'm accustomed. That's where my friends are. Or I hold a high position. They love the church, not truth. I was preaching in a certain country, on the face of the earth. This lady listened, was convicted, called me on the phone, said, "Evangelist, I've heard, I'm touched, but I have a high position in the church where I am now." And so I said, "On the left is your high position, on the right is God. How will you choose?" I never did find out the ultimate decision she made. On another occasion, I was speaking in another country. This young man came, he listened, was convicted. He came to me. He said, "I've heard what you said night after night. I'm convicted. I believe the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, Saturday. But I am in charge of all the youth in the district where I live. How can I leave them?" Did Jesus leave heaven to come down to save you? Did Jesus lay aside all the glory and covered himself in humanity, yes or no? Yeah. Does he still have that humanity? Yes. And so the Bible says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth." You cannot love Christ and not love truth. Why is that? Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth." John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14, "And the Word became flesh." Let me say it again, loudly but compassionately. You cannot love Christ and not love truth. Now, here's a second frightening thing. Put verse 11 on the screen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. Let me pray again. "Father in heaven, I ask you to continue to be with me, dear God, for the sake of Christ. And for the sake of the salvation of those listening, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen." Read with me. "And for this cause." Stop. What cause? That cause is in verse 10. What cause? Put verse 10 back up on the screen. I want you to think. Look at verse 10. "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth." Now, verse 11 says, "For this cause." What cause? No love for the truth. Now, here's the frightening part. "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." What's our subject? God has them. When you resist the truth, my friends online, stay where you are, please. You resist the truth. You resist the truth. The merciful God, who is not willing that any should perish, eventually washes his hands. And effectively says, "You want error? Let me remove the spirit of truth." When God removes the spirit of truth entirely, all you are under now is the power of the spirit of error, and no power can get you back to truth. Listen to me carefully. It is dangerous to see truth and walk away, because God will eventually, and he does not send a text or an email or communicate by WhatsApp to let you know when he will wash his hands, because God has limits. "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion." Now, the word "strong" is the same Greek word in verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan. The energy of Satan, same Greek word, the strong delusion, the energy of error. The same way the false prophet has the energy of Satan in verse 9. When God withdraws the spirit of truth, that person is possessed by the energy of error. Don't turn your back on the truth, because you're turning your back on Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. It is not enough to love a church. The Jews had a church. Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate. Now you can come to me as individuals. You are no longer a favored nation. If you discover the truth that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, you ought to make changes in how you eat. Somebody say amen. If you discover that your relationship in the light of the Ten Commandments is wrong and immoral, you ought to break it off. You've met the truth. If you discover that the seventh day is the Sabbath and not Sunday, when you see the truth, you ought to tell God, take a deep breath, give me courage to do what's right. And don't tell God, I have a big position in that church. Jesus Christ is a sheep stealer. You say to me, explain. I'll let Jesus explain. Go to John 10. Read verse 16. But Christ doesn't steal, but you understand what I mean. He takes from one church and brings to his. You have John 10, 16? And other sheep I have, which are not what? Of this fold, then, where are they? In other folds. Use your noggin. Do you have that word in Zimbabwe? Listen to Christ. Read microscopically. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, they must be where? In other folds. What does he go on to say? Them also I must bring from where? The other folds. And they shall hear my voice. This is the voice of God. You may think this is the voice of God. No, this is the voice of God only if it speaks this. Are you with me? Then also I must bring. And these series of meetings, there's one way God is trying to bring someone. What are the two frightening things we've learned about God? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men that hold the truth in unrighteousness. Those who suppress truth in order to hold on to members and to hold on to the offering will meet the wrath of God. I've told you before, let me say it again. Sometimes I watch these people on television and I literally say to God, please shut him up. Don't kill him, shut him up or her, because of the blatant error that people preach. Why? Just to keep the congregation at ease. When you preach, confess your sins, you're in trouble. When you preach sermons that convict people, you're in trouble. You may lose your life. But like the Apostle Paul, any honest preacher will place the gospel above his life. Are you following me? Two things about God. He has terrible wrath against those who hold the truth and keep it from the eyes and the hearts of the minds of people. The second frightening thing, when a person consistently chooses error, God eventually withdraws himself by withdrawing his spirit. The person is left to follow a strong delusion or the energy of the working of delusion. That's why you show the truth to some people, they see it, but they can't acknowledge it, because they're under the power of the energy of error. Let me tell you something I can't prove. Satan has many demons. Some are stronger than others. Jesus tells us that in Luke 14, 24 to 26. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he wanders through dark places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Some demons are more wicked than others. Are you following me? You know why that is? Before they were demons, they were holy angels. And some angels are more powerful than others. So when they were thrown out, they brought all their power with them. Now, here's what I can't prove, but I'll tell you to think. Certain demons are in charge of certain areas of Satan's work. Are you following me? There's a demon in charge of the inability to control your diet. That's the demon of intemperance. Ellen White says he's a giant. But there must be a demon who's a bigger giant. That's the demon of error. Mm-hmm. There must be a demon assigned to handle error. And when he grabs you, my brothers and sisters, we just read verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 2, and for this God's cause, God shall send strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Let me show you other verses that help you to understand that. Send them strong delusion. Let's go back to Romans 1. What's our subject? It's 22 minutes past. Well, no, not 22 minutes. We have 22 minutes left. So it's 8 minutes after 7. Father in heaven, as I continue today, God, slow me down, Father. I'm going too quickly, that those who listen might hear, and our sister Linda interpreting may have an easy time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How many times have I told you to tell me slow down? Why are you so attractively disobedient? You must not hesitate to say, slow down, please. Are you sorry? Say that again. You're following me. I need to slow down so those who are not as sharp as you are can follow. Now, Romans 1. Let's read verse 20 from 20. When it's there, tell me. For the invisible things of him, that's God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but what? Became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was professing themselves to be, it's not up there. Professing themselves to be wise, verse 22, come on. They became fools. See what I mean by I need to slow down? I must slow down so the verses come up so you can follow with me. Professing themselves to be wise, verse 22, they became fools. Let's get verse 23. And doing what? Changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image of what? Made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, pause. Take a deep breath. Read verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to what? Uncleanness through the lust of their heart. To do what? Dishonor their own bodies. Come on. Between themselves. Now, what do you mean by God gave them up? He withdrew his spirit. Now, keep this in mind. Listen. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. How does he do that? He withdraws the spirit of truth. You want to spend all your life drinking and smoking, whatever, God withdraws his spirit. And that's all you do. For this cause, God gave them up. Gave them up. Do what you want to do. Have your orgies. Have your alcohol parties, your smoking parties. You've shown me that's what you want. I have withdrawn my spirit. Verse 25. Who changed what? The truth of God, come on, into a lie. And what? And served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. Now read verse 6. For this cause, not 6, 26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even the women changing the natural use into that which is against nature, the natural state, into that which is against, in other words, women sleeping with women. Are you with me? That is not a modern thing. It goes all the way back. Women with women. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural, verse 27, leaving the natural use of the women, did what? Burned in their what? What's that? Homosexual behavior. So men with men, women with women, and God tolerates that for a while. He never agrees. He tolerates, hoping someone will change after a while. Let's read verse 28 now. What does that say? And as much as they did not like what? To retain God in the knowledge, come on, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's what you want to do? Go ahead. That's the loving God. We have to understand we serve a God who expresses wrath, but he's still loving. You want to be sexually immoral 7 days a week? Go ahead, says God. You want to keep rejecting the truth? Go ahead. I will send you strong delusion. You should believe a lie by simply withdrawing the spirit of truth. You want to drink and smoke and whatever else every day? After a while, God says, I have had enough. Go ahead. Ephraim has gone after idols. Leave him alone. Listen to me. When God makes that decision to withdraw, the case is closed. How close are you to God closing your case? How many times have you heard the truth and you cannot refute it, but you're driven by habit? How many have been coming to the meetings the first week? Let me tell you, I was conducting some meetings like this in my country, close to where I live. And this lady came the first week, very lovely lady, decent, professional, very nice. And when the second week began, I didn't see her. So I called, sister, whomever, haven't seen you the second week. You know what she said to me? And God is listening to me. She said, Elder Skeet, if I continue to sit under that preaching, I will have to make a choice. So I'm not coming back. Those of you watching online, have you made that decision? If I continue to sit under that preaching, I will have to make a choice. And so I choose to avoid the truth and stay in my comfort zone of error. Don't do that. It is better to be inconvenienced on this earth now than when the fires of hell burn. My brothers and sisters, God has limits. And he's watching us now. Let me hit the point I hit all the time, and I'll tell you why. It is the one universally disregarded. Sunday is not the Sabbath. It has never been. It is not now and will never be. Why? Because the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord did what? Blessed the Sabbath day, and now he blessed it. Keep this in mind. Let's go to Numbers 23, verses 19 and 20. Keep in mind, the Bible says God blessed the Sabbath day. He only blessed one. Listen to what a prophet tells you and me. Numbers 23, 19 and 20. Tell me when it's up there. God is not a man that he shall lie. What does that tell you about people? They're lying. God is not a man that he shall lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Read 20 with me. I have received what? Commandment to bless. Keep reading. He hath blessed. Come on. I can't reverse it. You tell me, who has the power on earth to reverse God's blessing? Tell me who. Unless you think it's that man of sin who sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God and he has the power to change God's laws. The highest voice in the United States is not President Biden. The highest voice in England is not the Prime Minister. The highest voice in the United States is the Constitution. If the president behaves unconstitutionally, he can be removed from office. Are you listening to me? Any law that unconstitutional has to be thrown out. The highest voice of the United States and many other countries is the Constitution. The voice of God's kingdom is his law. And there is a system that has said we have the power to change it. And that system is the Roman Church. Is it a pleasant thing to say? No. Does it need to be said? Yes. My brothers and sisters, because a church says something doesn't make it right. Because something is done in a church does not make it right. It has to be done and said according to thus saith the Lord. People say when Jesus died, the Sabbath was done away with. And Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath. I don't have to keep it. What did Jesus tell his followers? When the Romans come to destroy Jerusalem and you run, don't run on the Sabbath. That happened between AD 66 and 70, 30 something years after Jesus went back. He expected his followers to keep the Sabbath. And so he said, when the city is destroyed, don't run on the Sabbath. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That is 60 or 70 years after Jesus died, because the man who wrote Revelation, John, lived the longest. He lived about 100 years old. He died about 100 AD. He wrote, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. 70 years after Jesus died, John recognized the Lord's day, which is the Sabbath. Why do I say that? God calls the Sabbath my day. Isaiah 58:13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. He never called Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday his holy day, even though he made them. There are two major errors I told you a couple nights ago that most Christians need to correct. One, dead people are still alive. That's a satanic doctrine. Two, Sunday is the Sabbath. Satan has used those two errors to deceive almost the entire world. You see, Satan doesn't need 27 errors. Are you with me? He does not need 27 errors. Two will work, one will work. What does the Bible say? Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in, he's guilty of. Satan does not attack the other nine the way he does the fourth. Everyone else virtually in Christianity, most people I would say, believe you shouldn't pray to cement. Have one God. Don't take his name in vain, no problem. Respect your parents. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet, no problem. Satan's success is his attack on the one that says the seventh day is the Sabbath. Because that's the one that presents the Creator, and creation is the chief purpose for worship. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Let's read verse 11. I just said creation is the fundamental purpose for worship. The basis, the reason why we should worship God is the fact, first, he is creator. Revelation 4:11. Say it with me. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Because he is creator, that's our primary motive to worship God. But Satan wants worship. And so he tries to destroy the commandment that presents the reason why we worship God. Let me ask you this. Before there was sin, did the angels worship God? Yes or no? Yeah, because he created them.
Mm-hmm.
There was worship before there was sin. And so the primary purpose for worship is not Calvary. That's a good reason, don't misunderstand me. The primary purpose for worship is creation. God as creator, I should say. We don't worship creation, we worship God. When Christ comes and makes this world brand new, or makes this world brand new, sin is done away with. The devil is destroyed. Those who followed him are destroyed. The world is made brand new. Will we worship God? Yes. Will there be sin? No. Will there be cause for a savior? No. The primary purpose for worship is that God is creator. And what commandment keeps that before us? Number four. That's the one Satan has attacked with great success. But let me say this. Satan's success requires people's cooperation. In the presence of a holy God, who can take my life right now if I'm telling lies? You know what I said? He can snuff me out now if I'm telling lies. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Sunday is the day of Satan. But let me say quickly, God has a lot of good people who are keeping Sunday. How? Ignorant. They don't know. Many years ago, I was pastoring a little church outside Detroit. And we used to rent from a Sunday church. So every Sabbath morning, I'd get there early. One of the elders and I were putting up a banner. Mustard Seed SDA Church, Sabbath School, 9:30. Midday main service, 11 o'clock. Afternoon service, 5 o'clock. There was a man across the street. He came over. He said, what are you doing? I said, we're putting up a banner. Why? We have church service. He said, on Saturday? Why? So with great delight, which we restrained, we said, Saturday is the Sabbath. Can you guess what he said? I didn't know that. Have you ever heard of Oprah Winfrey? She was interviewing a Seventh-day Adventist who works in Hollywood, who is an Adventist. And on the show, she wanted to know why, I think, he doesn't work on Saturday. He said, well, Saturday is the Sabbath, not Sunday. You know what she said? I didn't know that. Now, a lot of people say, I didn't know that, but continue their behavior. Are you with me? I want you to say, I didn't know that, but now I know I'll make a change. Because the wrath of God will be revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men that hold the truth in a right, that suppress the truth. One frightening thing about God, the other one is, and for this reason, God, or this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And how does God send that strong delusion? He withdraws the spirit of truth. That is a tragedy. When that happens, that spirit of truth does not come back to convict you of truth. He is gone. And we read in Romans 1, wherefore God gave them up. Three times, verse 24, Romans 1, verse 26, verse 28, he gave them up to vile affection, gave them up to reprobate mind, gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of the flesh, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves. My brothers and sisters, God does not want to withdraw his spirit of truth from you. He is still not willing that what? Any should perish, tonight, make a choice for truth. Say to God, Father, all my life I've been keeping Sunday, and I kept it sincerely, not knowing it wasn't. Sincerity is good, but it's not enough. Because the Bible says we must worship God in sincerity and truth. You can be sincerely wrong or sincerely right. The choice is yours. Say to God, Father, I have seen the truth. I have heard it. This man keeps hitting the Sabbath, the Sabbath, the Sabbath. I have heard it. Remove my objections, dear God, and help me to come in line with the truth. One day, God will reach the limit of his patience. When that happens, please be on the right side of God. When God closed the door to the ark, he reached the limit of his patience with those who lived in the days of Noah. And he shut that door, and that was it. When the five foolish virgins came and they came knocking, they were nice people. Very nice. All 10 were virgins. Are you with me? Nice people. But they were late and they knocked. Too late. The door was knocked. It was shut. You don't have to be a monster to be shut out of heaven. You don't have to be a rapist and a mass murderer. No. Most people who are lost will be decent. Make a choice, my friends online in this building, to obey God. The wrath of God is not something you want to experience. That's why he delays and delays and delays. He does not want to pour out his wrath, but he must, because he remembered what Jesus suffered because of sin. And a God who is pure and sinless is tired of sin. And Abraham is in the grave waiting to get the land of Canaan. David is in the grave waiting to be resurrected to this new world. Elisha is waiting to be resurrected. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Amos, Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, Mary, Ruth, they are waiting to be resurrected, to be put into a sinless world. And will God keep them waiting forever because of stubborn people? That won't happen. How many of you will say with me tonight, Father, give me a love for the truth? Can I see your hand? For the truth. Stand up with me. Those of you online, the call is for you. A love for the truth. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. It's cutting, Father. I'm sure it bothered a lot of people. But God, sometimes you have to cut to remove the cancer of sin. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, if mercy still lingers, appeal once more to that person who is ducking, dodging, and avoiding you. He or she who dodges God is moving towards Satan. Touch that person, dear God, even if you have to touch him or her painfully. Touch that person for the person's own salvation. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Who will say right here and online, Father, I want to keep the Sabbath. I've not been keeping it. It's new to me, but I want to keep your holy day, seventh day Sabbath, as you have said. But I need some help. I need some courage. I have some obstacles. If someone will say that, I want to do it, but I need some spiritual support. Can I see your hand? I don't keep the Sabbath. It's not part of my tradition, but I want to do it, but I need some help. Just raise your hand. Anyone who fits that description. God bless you. God bless you, sister. I mean it from my heart. Somebody else. Online, you respond in your own way. I want to obey God before he removes the spirit of truth and gives to me a strong delusion to believe a lie. Anybody else? I want to keep God's Sabbath. The light is in my eye. Make sure I don't miss any hand. Father in heaven, I ask you, please, as an act of mercy, do not withdraw your spirit tonight. Let him work overtime to the point of perspiration, dear God, to bring that stubborn woman, that stubborn man, that stubborn young man, that stubborn young woman to the foot of the cross in submission to truth. Do that, God, and thereby save just one more. Thank you for truth. Thank you for the rebuke of truth. Thank you for the Spirit. As we leave, Father, let us leave thinking, am I avoiding God? Bring us back tomorrow, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. What will you take from the message? Yes. It is dangerous, did you hear that little preacher? To see the truth and walk away. It is suicidal. Yes. When God removes the spirit of truth, your only option is to believe error. But God only does that after giving us all the opportunities he can. Yes. One of the major errors that the devil has used to deceive the whole world is dead people are still alive. You can talk to them. Yes. Don't turn back from the truth, because when you turn from the truth, to whom are you turning? Satan. Yes. Say it again loudly. Oh, yes, thank you. Let no one deceive you by any means, not even your so-called prophet. Are you with me? Let no one deceive you by any means. Paul said that. Jesus said that too. Yes. Say it again. Satan uses two major errors to mislead the world. One, the dead people are not dead. Two, Sunday is a Sabbath. Two major errors, and they have worked well. Somebody else. Yes, sister, sitting over there. The wrath of God will be poured out on those who suppress the truth. Preachers, read Romans 1:18. The wrath of God, the orgy of God's anger, the unrestrained passion of God's fury will be poured out on those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Yes. 10 minus 1. Oh, sister, I like your math. 10 minus 1 equals 0. You break 1, come on. You break all. Yes, yes. We have to have the truth more than the church. Now, Jesus has a church, but it's built on truth. Where's that? Say that again. Someone tell me loudly. What did that nice person say? I can't. What? Oh, God does not lie. Amen. Somebody say amen. God does not lie, and this is the voice of God. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Let God's people say amen and amen. Come back tomorrow. Bring someone with you. My friends online, please join us tomorrow. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.